just going to pray for Pastor Shannon here. You know, Father, thank you for our dear sister, our pastor, our beloved friend. Let me just pronounce the blessing of God to be upon her. I'm hearing the Lord say that he's going to be, well, he's always with you, but he's really going to lead you today.
Thank you.
You're going to sense his presence, Shannon. I pray a blessing upon you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We bless you. Bless your words. Bless the Spirit in you. Bless your coming in, your going out, Lord. Shannon, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for her. Give us ears to hear, Lord. Help us to receive the word. We want to change. Lord, I'm hearing you say that all creation is crying out for the sons of God, for the full manifestation of the power and authority of God released in God's children. For such a time as this, he says.
Amen.
And Lord, we say that we are open to the full manifestation of your presence.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Woo. Amen. Good morning. We are few on the ground here this morning, but I just thank the Lord that people are getting opportunities to take this last long weekend of the summer and just get refreshed, restored, visit whatever they're doing. We want to bless them wherever they are. Just take a moment, take a look around. Okay? Stand up if you need to. Look behind you. Look beside you. Whatever. Just take a look around. We see a lot of empty seats. But I want to tell you what I saw. I saw a flooding in.
Amen.
I saw a flooding in.
Amen.
And I just say that sometimes, well, you'll see where I'm going this morning, but sometimes we can get discouraged, right? And the world says, and the churches are, and they're just, you know, the church of God, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Well, are we still basking in the joy of last week?
Yes.
And you know, this morning as we were in pre-service prayer, I just said, Father, may that joy never end. May it not be a one-off on just that. May it never end. May we always, always feel your presence and your passion, your joy for us. It was a good week, amen? Amen. And bless you, Deb, and bless you, Elaine, in being obedient and stepping into the waters of baptism, following Jesus' example, and again, rejoicing in what he has done in your lives and will continue to do. So here's my question this morning. How many of you have raised children? How many of you can remember when they were learning how to walk? Just like this little picture here where you hold them up and their little legs go kicking and trying to move forward. And then eventually, you know, they're holding on to the furniture and moving around. And then there's that kind of first toddler little step. Down goes on that lovely diapered bum that's padded, you know, with that diaper. And you keep encouraging them and showing them. And eventually they have the courage to take that first step without you. And you cheer them on and you say, don't give up. Come on, let's keep trying. Does it happen in a day? No. It takes time and we don't give up. We keep encouraging them, knowing full well they're going to walk. They're going to walk. We know that. Now, let me ask you this. At what age did your children start brushing their teeth? When did that happen? What happened? Did they just put their feet on the floor one day, walk into the bathroom and start brushing their teeth? No. After they got teeth? After they got teeth, yeah. You went in with them. You showed them the toothbrush, the toothpaste. You held their face. You helped them brush their little teeth. Let me see if I can get it to move on. You helped them brush their little teeth, showed them how to go and how to move around the mouth and get all the little teeth. And eventually, you stood there behind them and let them try it themselves, and it got a little messy. But you patiently kept moving along with them and teaching them, knowing that it had to get a little messy as they're learning how to brush their teeth. And it took patience on your part because, again, sometimes it was messy. Sometimes it's down the front of their shirt and in the sink and maybe even on the floor, whatever. But we give patience and we help them. And there's that time we have to step back and let them learn on their own. Learn on their own. They've got the instruction, they've got the teaching. Now they've got to do it on their own. You step back. Now let me ask you, how many years did it take your children to learn to brush their teeth by themselves? Some said 40. If you're still, well, let me ask you, I'm going to say hopefully a little sooner than 40, but probably still as teenagers, was there still the reminder? Have you brushed your teeth? Oh, Mom. Oh, Dad. Do they know how to do it? But they need that encouragement. How many of you still brush your teeth? How many of you have your mom and dad around to tell you to do it? So it paid off, but it took some time, but it paid off. I know some of you put it in a glass with a little bubbly seltzer thing, but much easier, or yeah, maybe you should have been brushing your teeth more. But what happened is that you showed them and then stepped back and let them, and it took time. How about teaching manners? Please and thank you. We start with that, right? We start with please and thank you. And we get them then to kind of focus on other people around them when we're asking them to say please and thank you. It's not just all about them. They begin to look at, go hold the door. Mom's hands are full with things, or grandma's or grandpa's, or hold the door for somebody so they can get through. Again, you're teaching them to pay attention to things outside of themselves. How about sharing? We have to be taught to share. And that takes patience, and they have to be taught sometime patience. It all takes time, and we don't give up. We just keep encouraging. What about us as believers? You know, sometimes we get so focused on things like miracles and signs and wonders, and we don't see it, and it gets hard, and we pray harder. We pray harder. Have you ever prayed harder? You look like you're constipated. Sorry, that's maybe too much information. But the thing is, we believe, we're so convinced that God is faithful to his word and his promises, and that is the way we should be. And we should praise God for all that he's done. But what happens when we don't always get what we want when we want it? Well, this morning's message is about perseverance. How many of you are so excited to hear that word? Ooh, yay, perseverance. Ah. Right? When we want everything in our heart, our being wants to live in faith and expectation of God. But when we don't see that expectation fulfilled as instantly as we want it, what then? You know, when we're in those moments when we've been in situations and strongholds and things going on in our life, the enemy loves to take that opportunity to kind of stir up doubt in you and in me. You hear these little questions. Well, what's wrong with me? Is God mad at me? Am I not hearing seeing things happen because God's mad at me? Well, maybe this isn't his will. And all this thinking and pondering that he brings is really about him trying to disqualify you from seeing the results of your prayers, of your seeking of the Lord. I want to explain something to you right off the bat here, I think. Oops, yeah, there's him talking and disqualifying you, is this. You cannot qualify yourself, no matter what. It is Jesus who has qualified you. All that doubt and all that stuff, again, is the enemy speaking to you. It's even words he's planting, because he's not omnipresent, right? So you hear something and you've got a hold of this, and we keep, like I said, somebody's beeping. We keep pondering it in our heads and finding reasons to disqualify ourselves because we're not seeing the results. And the enemy loves to keep you there. And the worst part is maybe we've seen miracles and breakthroughs. And we have seen signs of wonders in the past. And we have flowed in the Holy Spirit. And he's used us and flown through us. And we've even prayed for other people and seen things happen. But then there's sometimes this, we hit this thing where nothing seems to happen. And no answers. The outcome that we've been praying for, we're just not seeing. You know, one of the things that we as Christians in North America is sadly, and without really recognize it, we're not used to pressing in for the things of God. And we've kind of adapted to the instant gratification culture of us, of the world around us. You know, when my parents, I was 4 years old when my parents bought their first house. Now, my brother and sister were 9 and 14 when that happened. No, they're older than that. 20 and 16 when that happened. They had to wait to buy a house, save the money, and that when they bought the house. And guess what else they had to do? They did. They waited to purchase furniture. Sorry. Yeah, it's probably, you know, everybody. They had to purchase, or they waited to purchase furniture. That's what I was trying to say. They saved up and went and bought the furniture. They didn't come to this house, say, well, we've got to repaint, redecorate, and everything. They had to wait. We don't live in a culture that does that anymore. Going to buy a house. Going to pull out the credit card. Going to get everything done. Going to get new this, new that, whatever. We're not used to waiting. Now, if you have the money, that's not a problem. But if we're doing it on credit, maybe. Just maybe. And so, again, those are the things that our culture has come, that we're as a culture, not easily, or we're, what am I trying to say? We're looking for the instant fulfillment, the instant gratification. And when we as believers think, well, that's not us. And we might not be, you know, looking for all of the worldly things, but are you able to press into the Lord and wait and persevere till you see the manifestations of the promises of God? I'm going to even say this. This is my biggest thing. I like to be entertained. I have a TV. I have an iPad. I have a CD player. I have a video machine or a DVD player. I like to be entertained. I don't like lots of downtime. And I'm going to be honest with you. It steals from me time with the Lord. It stole from me a habit and a wonderful thing of just experiencing and pressing into the presence of the Lord. I'm working on it. Pray for me. Yeah. Yeah, well, every time I hear somebody talk about what's the score, right? Sports. I'm just going to say, I happen to like TV and that, but, you know, some people turn on the TV or the radio, got to hear the score, what's going on in the game. It's everywhere. And we think about not having, and I'm not speaking just prayers, but things that we see with God that we kind of go, how come it's not happening? Like when I pray, it should happen instantly, because when Jesus prayed for things, every time he prayed for something, it happened. But you know what? We're not looking at that moment. We're not looking at, how many years did Jesus minister for? Three and a half. How many years before that was their preparation? 30. He was in the Word. God was doing things in his life before we see it written in the Gospels of his ministry. God was preparing him. Jesus studied the word. We know that he got away and prayed, spent time with the Lord. And let me tell you, he had some struggles and some troubles. Do you remember the guys called the Pharisees? Yeah, and very Sadducees, yes. Thanks, Rod. We were talking about silly dad jokes. Anyway, we'll go there. Anyway, and you know what? His disciples, you know, they'd move along, and then they just didn't seem to get it. Remember when they were arguing who was going to be the right and left hand of Jesus? Peter, when Jesus goes to wash his feet, he says, no, you're not going to wash mine. Or when Jesus goes to wash Peter's feet, no, you're not going to wash mine. And then Jesus says, well, if I can't wash your feet, you won't have any part of me. Oh, well, wash all of me. And it's just like, Peter, you're just not getting it. You're just not getting it. Best teacher in the world, and he wasn't getting it. So all you beautiful teachers who are going back to school, some of them just won't get it. It's not always about you. In fact, most of the time it isn't. So then we even have to think about, when was Jesus' prayer not answered? Or not answered the way he wanted it? And we think of the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying. And he didn't get the answer he desired. He said, Father, if it's possible, could you take this cup away from me? If there's another way, Lord. That was his prayer. That was his cry out to God. He was knowing how he was already suffering, if I can put it that way. So what sin had he done? What was disqualifying him from getting his prayer answered? Nothing. The Lord had a perfect plan. And though it was great suffering at the hands of wicked-hearted humans, the results, the end results, is more glorious than any of us or any of them could see in the moment. Through Jesus' suffering and his willingness to go through all that he went through, it bought us and brought us into redemption, our salvation, our victory over sin, death, and the grave. And you know what? We can see what Jesus was willing to suffer because there was more to come that was even better. You can see throughout scriptures the saints, as they prayed and they waited on God and they were seeking answers to their prayers. We could just start off with Abraham and Sarah. I mean, I'm sure all their married life they wanted children, but we know Sarah was barren. And when God calls Abraham, he's 75. And it's right around then God makes a promise to him, you'll have a son. Abe is 100 years old when Isaac is born. A desire in his heart that he sought the Lord for, and finally got a promise when he was 75. He still had to wait another 25 years to see it manifest because it was God's perfect plan. And both Sarah and Abraham knew it was of God. What about Joseph, which Crystal shared a couple of weeks ago and talked about Joseph, you know, the son of Jacob, coat of many colors? He had this dream as a teenager, and it wasn't fulfilled until he was in his 40s. And let me tell you, life wasn't fun for Joseph for all those 40 years. And we know the story, but Joseph pressed into God, faithful to the things of God, trusting the Lord. We read through the whole list of Hebrews 11, the list of the faithful, it's called. And in verse 13, it says this, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them from a distance and saw them and welcomed them from a distance. admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. Oh my goodness, perseverance. Let's see if we can get this to move forward. Jesus tells a parable of the widow who goes before the unjust judge, begging and pleading for her justice. And he keeps sending her away. Go away. Not doing anything for you. I love this picture. She doesn't stop pursuing him. She doesn't stop. She is persistent. She is persevering through to what she knows is hers and what is right. And finally, just because he's fed up, he relents. And in verse, and I don't think this is, whoops. And this is what the Lord Jesus said at the end of this. He said, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge said. The unjust judge finally gave in, right? And now, about justice for his chosen ones, I think I'm missing something there, who cried out to him day and night. You know what? I'm going to read it off my page because I think I've missed something there. Verse 7 should start with, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen one? I apologize for missing that line. Who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, will the Son of Man, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So we see Jesus here is doing something interesting. He's equating faith with perseverance. This persistence going back over and over and over to God, knowing, trusting God is faithful. He is the just judge, not an unjust judge. I love the fact that it says here, He will see that they get justice and quickly. And then Jesus goes off to say something else here. However, when the Son of Man comes, will faith be found on earth? You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was at a pastor's barbecue, and the hosting pastor said something that really caught my ear. He says, you know, sometimes when God is at work at things, it's like a glacier pace. It moves slow. And he was talking about their situation with getting a building or whatever, and they, 10 years praying into it and all of that, and then suddenly, he said, it just all came together like that. Suddenly, things happen when we stay, even at that glacier, focused on God, and it's a glacier pace that things are moving forward. Now think about what Jesus said there. However, when the Son of Man comes, when the Son of Man comes, how long has Jesus been gone? How long since his ascension? Over 2,000 years, right? Not quite, or a little more, whatever, however you want to look at this. He said he will return. Now put a suddenly on that. Put a suddenly on that. How many generations have come and gone? And God says, the quick of God is not the quick of man. And I'm going to tell you something. When I think about going to heaven, we sang, I can only imagine. I don't think there's anybody in this room this morning that wouldn't think, man, that would be great. I just can't wait. If God took me now, I'd be okay. I love the idea of where we're going, how that's going to be. And the suddenly of God is going to happen for all of us. But you know what I'm really appreciating? That there is a glacier pace to that right now. Because there's loved ones I want to come with me. that aren't believers yet. There's people I know that I want to get the gospel to, the opportunity. I love the Glacier pace. Even though I'm struggling because sometimes they're taking 25 years to come. But thank you, God, that your heart is that they be saved. So will he find faith in the earth? Will he find his believers faithfully pressing in to him and his promises and the things that he has put before us? Or are we going to give up? Jesus gave us another thing, another statement we all know. Ask, seek, knock. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. But in that Greek statement, we need to understand it isn't a one-time thing. It's a constantly asking, a constantly seeking, a constantly knocking. We don't stop. We're like the widow. So why does God want us to persevere? Why does he want perseverance in us? Well, we're going to go to Romans here, maybe. Maybe. See if we can get it. It's not going forward. Not sure why here. There we go. Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That sentence there, you can walk out the door with today and just go, yeah. But it moves on. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Yes. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We boast in what's up there for us, what's here for us now. We boast in his glory. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Yes. Okay, that's what it says. And why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Whew, that's a lot. Well, let's look at this glorious word, suffering. Pick one of those words. Where are you at? Are you tribulation? Do you feel afflicted? Have you got afflictions? You got some troubles? A little anguish? Persecution? Burdened? Me and my brother are trying to build an IKEA closet. A little bit of affliction? Trials? Tribulation? Well, we did. There was a moment. There wasn't. Yeah, there's no verbal instructions, but there's pictures. We are counting little tiny dots in the picture. Is this the right board? Perseverance. We're going to finish it. We'll get there. I won't even tell you what happened. Perseverance. Perseverance. The wonderful thing about all of this is suffering produces something. And that word produced works to accomplish, achieves results. Something happens, it makes you fit for something. You persevered with your children brushing teeth. God has a reason for you to experience the things that we're doing. Please understand, God does not bring suffering. But boy, will he use that. It's the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord says, listen. Well, God Almighty is going to take every one of those negative situations and turn them for good. He's accomplishing something in you. How many of us are enjoying it? Nope. But he's fitting us for something more. Well, you see, he sees the beginning and the end. He knows. And you know what? He's like the parent holding the fingers of the child. He says, I know what's going to happen. I know they're going to learn to walk and they're going to take off. And the potential that is already there, he's encouraging. And yes, it's a bit of a struggle. And maybe not even a bit, a lot. Then we come across this next word, perseverance. And in the New Testament, it characterizes, it's the characteristic of a man or a woman who is not swerved from his or her diligent purpose. I love that. And his or her loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings, it is about steadfast waiting for. I'm going to just call out right now as I look and I think of our brothers and sisters that I know that Al is dealing with things, Jim, Tony, Lorinda, and Joanne, and there's many more that I haven't called out. And they, in long time, suffering and pushing through and waiting on, but they're not giving up on God. We're pushing into what he has for us, his promises. But in it, can I just encourage you, brothers and sisters? Push in. Keep pressing into him. Keep trusting him. Keep knowing in faith that he is good and only good, and he will use this in whatever way. He didn't bring it, but he'll use it. Perseverance, again, produces works to accomplish, achieve results, something to happen to make you fit for something. Please understand, this is not qualifying you. You're qualified. This is teaching. It's like the baby in the family. They're unqualified for all the inheritance by just being born into the family. But there is the training up, right? Then the next is character. Oh, man. Sometimes to produce some character in us that's opposite of what we've been. This word character means a specimen of tried worth. See, the Lord knows what he's doing. He knows the worth, and he's trying it in you and bringing it out in you to see yourself approved, to see a tried character of experience knowing the Lord, accepted and pleasing and acceptable. Okay, come on, people, where's that scripture? Well, God makes us, this is your sacrifice. Holy, acceptable, and perfect. Praise God. Thank you. I love my Bible scholars who can hold those things in their brain. Mine goes, and it's just like, call for the scholars. Oh, man. See, here's the thing. When we are in suffering and perseverances or in trials and persevering and trying to push through, we just don't think we can. God is developing character in us, and we can have two things happen. We can become better or we can become bitter. Where are you going? And if you find there's some bitter thinking there, guess what? Praise God. It doesn't mean you're stuck there. It doesn't mean you're stuck there. Because character, this work on your character produces something. Again, I'm sorry you get that again and again and again. It's perseverance. He is working to accomplish things in you, achieve results. Something is happening, and it's making you fit for something, his plans and his purposes for you. And then what's the last one? It says hope. Character produces hope, expectation of good, hope in the Christian sense of joyful confidence and expectations of eternal salvation. Praise God. Because you know what we started with in that scripture? It started with hope. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God without shame. You know, the world wants to shame you. When you don't see answers to prayer, I still remember a family member many years ago. I was praying about something. I'm excited about the good things of God. I have faith in God for his promises and to see things happen. And their response is, yeah, but we haven't seen anything happen. You know, we haven't seen it. Like, where is it? And we get those. Guess who that is? Is that the Lord saying, yeah, well, if you had enough faith? Is that the Lord saying, well, you have beseeching sin? You have resolved sin in your life. I'm sorry, if you have Jesus in your life, you have resolved the sin issue. And all of that stuff is, again, the enemy trying to disqualify you from what you already have. You're part of the family of God. That nothing can disqualify you from the inheritance. But there is perseverance. And sometimes, like I said, we get caught up in hearing the enemy say, rather than, I'm going to persevere until the Lord takes me home where I see his promises come to be. I'm not giving up because I have hope and I am not ashamed if I don't see the result today, tomorrow, next year, or 25 years from now. Some of us hope to be home by 25 years from now. So we've got this amazing cycle, hope in any troubles, perseverance through it, a growth in our character that leads us back to hope. And we move through and we persevere. And then the suddenlies of God happen. Suddenly, when we're not expecting it or not necessarily looking for it, but knowing it will, the suddenlies start happening. Our God is a God of the suddenlies. And then we sit here and say, but Pastor Shannon, I don't know how to do this perseverance thing. You know, I don't know how it happens. I'm going to tell you a little story I heard as I was researching a pastor. She was preaching and she's talking about her children. And she said, I saw the perfect example into that. That speaks to us. She said her husband was speaking to their six-year-old who was eating his eggs with his fingers. And his father said to him, you need to use your fork. And the child's response was, I don't know how. To which the father, who had probably taught his child how to use a fork, said to him, don't act like you don't know how just because you don't want to. That hit me. It's like, wow, how many times have I not wanted to persevere? Have I not wanted to press in? Had I not wanted? It's not that I don't know how, and it's not that you don't know how. It's do you want to? Do you want to? Because you see, just like the little child that you helped grow into a place of caring for themselves and seeking all the potential that is in them from the day they were born, so your heavenly Father is not holding anything back from you, but is helping you to grow into and care for and seek all that is yours. And sometimes we maybe just need to grow in some areas before we see the suddenly of God. Yes, it's a glacier pace. Yes, it's suffering. Yes, sometimes it's painful and unpleasant. But oh, when the suddenly happens. Oh, when the suddenly happens. Oh, when the suddenly of God happens. All the glory is going to go to him. All the glory. We will boast in the hope of the glory of our God. Not in ourselves, not in our pressing on forever and ever, but in God who with us suddenly brought the promise to us in its right time. I want to do a little something before I wrap up here this morning. I want to ask you some questions to think about here. How many of you could say, this morning before you came to church, you don't have to put up your hands, you just need to think about it. I really grew spiritually before I came. Well, how about yesterday? Did you really grow spiritually yesterday? Last week? Maybe last month? How about last year? Some of us are sitting here going, oh, I don't know. I don't think so. I can't. But if you were to stand here today and look back over the lifetime that you have spent with the Lord, and I know some of us are brand new to the Lord, can we say, yeah, there's been growth? Does it seem like it's been a glacier pace? But you know what? Papa's working. He who has begun a good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion. I think I'm behind a few things here. Whoops, yeah, I am. Sorry, I didn't put all these up and I apologize. There's that glacier pace. beautiful. I don't know if I want to go run around on it, but it's pretty from a distance. But when you can stand back and see how far it's come. Don't give up. Keep pressing in. Keep persevering, even in the suffering, even when you don't see the results when you want them. Because God is doing something. Papa's taking care of you, kid. He's got a plan for you, and oh my goodness, it's good. And so we want to keep going in and pressing in, and we will see. You will see the suddenlies. The suddenlies of God in his time. And they're going to be sweet, sweet, sweet. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me and we'll pray. Just thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here amongst us this morning. Thank you that you are teaching and counseling and bringing us into understanding and recognition. Thank you that you give us strength and perseverance when we need to just keep pressing in until we see the answer. Holding you, holding on and pressing in and saying, God, it's good, and we know it's good, and we know your word, and we know you are faithful to every word that comes. And we're not going to give up. We're not going to let the enemy try and disqualify us. We're going to stand in the finished work of Jesus, which cannot be canceled or disqualified. And we're just going to keep on rejoicing because, oh man, it is good for the family of God. It's good for each and every one of us, Papa. And again, we want to give you the glory, you the honor, and you the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And amen. Amen.